Good evening and welcome to Primetime Sports. Big Game James McCarty alongside Jace Denman. And tonight, as we continue on the conference finals routes without our respective teams in it, we're trying to keep things uplifted and positive as we continue to inch closer day by day to the NBA draft, the NHL draft, the Twins, as they approach a weekend series against the Boston Red Sox upcoming in the next day or so. But the Red Hawks, of course, are returning home this upcoming weekend for the first time this season when they have their home opener on Friday evening. But trying to keep things a little bit baseball-related tonight, and more or less a question I'm going to present to Jace. And I was just kind of scouring this morning through some different sites and through some different resources that I use for whether we're looking for sports content, whether we're just looking for general stories, maybe on shows, different things of those sorts, just kind of throughout the day. And when I was on The Athletic, I stumbled upon an article by Keith Law, who does a terrific job. And he writes a lot about MLB prospects, drafts, things of those sorts. But his story, his most recent story this week, that's not centered around the upcoming MLB draft or high-level prospects within minor league baseball at this point, actually centers around a high school baseball player that is a star of his team, but it has nothing to do with his production on the field, which is what piqued my interest so much initially about this story. And from a small town in Idaho, of all places, a senior baseball player who is doing a little bit of double dip, and he's starring on his high school varsity baseball team, but he's also trying to help some of the youth out in two capacities and umpiring local youth baseball. And of course, for a high school kid, you're making a few dollars, but you're also helping, you know, encourage the next generation of baseball players within your town, your region, you know, your city, your state, whichever. And this story that was written, it's titled "A Teen Umpire Tossed a Baseball Coach in a Now Viral Video," and then here's his side of the story. And you can go to social media. When I went to the article, it pushed me right to the video on TikTok, and it's about, you know, somewhere in that realm of like 90 seconds to 2 minutes long. And as the video is starting, there's a team of youth. I mean, we're talking like 11, 12-year-old kids, right? And then this high school senior that's 17, maybe 18 years old. And then, of course, you have adults that are there that dropped off their kids or supporting their kids, coaches that are parents, things of those sorts. And in this video, as some kids are running onto the field to go out to the field to play, another kid's run into the on-deck circle because he's about to start the inning hitting. And you just see one of the team's coaches, I would imagine the road team's coach, because that's kind of how it was poised to me or kind of, you know, presented to in the article. He approaches the umpire and starts a discussion with him, and the umpire seemed to have some pretty just, you know, generic dialogue back with him, very calm. And then it seemed as though the coach got a little bit upset. The umpire kept his cool, and in the video you can see he's explaining himself in more or less this, you know, 90 seconds, almost 2 minutes worth of your day if you do end up watching it. You can hear different things, you know, being said throughout it. You can see body language, composure, different things of those sorts, right? But basically the coach for the team that walked out to the umpire that had an issue, he had an issue with the song that was being played. And for those who, I mean, if you really care enough to go and listen to it, Rob Zombie's Never Gonna Stop. And the coach said it was inappropriate for those youth baseball players to be listening to that between innings. And the umpire had just stated to him that, you know, he is, you know, not in control of the PA of that system. He did not hear a single word that was inappropriate or profane or anything along those lines. So nothing that would be deemed as inappropriate for an 11 or 12 or 13 year old, you know, child to hear in the background while you're playing a baseball game. And the dialogue goes on for a few seconds, just kind of, you know, back and forth a little bit. And in the end, the umpire, I think, does the very smart thing to do. He takes control of that situation. He doesn't, you know, start flamboyantly throwing his arms out and trying to cause a scene. But he just tells the coach, you've got two options here. You can either go back to your dugout and we can continue to play baseball like we came here to play, or you can, you know, forfeit your ability to coach in the game. And the coach then refused to leave the field and demanded that he was, you know, heard and responded to, right, and whatnot. And so the umpire just tossed him out of the game and said, all right, well, you're done for the day. You know, you can leave the field now. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your time, basically. And in a corresponding move with that, instead of just leaving the field like, you know, an adult would after voicing their displeasure, this coach pulled his team off the field and forfeited the game, which then in a corresponding move, the umpire had to then turn towards the crowd and make the announcement that there's been a forfeit by one team. And so the other team has by default won this game. You know, the game is officially done, or has come to a conclusion, whichever you'd want to say for terminology. It was just a really odd 2 minutes, and another, you know, in my opinion, just by watching the video and seeing how it looked like the, you know, that coach who was raising his voice was getting upset with this umpire, and I believe that based off of what I've seen on the video that he did a pretty good job of de-escalating the situation and then ending that situation and just kind of, you know, basically breaking it off and coming to a conclusion. I mean, with your take on it for a moment or two, I know I have my mm-hmm. thoughts, but in today's day and age, when we're talking about, hey, we're struggling to find officials for varsity events here, even locally in the Fargo-Moorhead Metro. You're struggling to find
coaches. You're struggling to find umpires,
officials,
referees, exactly.
Whichever. You know, we have some, whether it's, you know, parents that seem to be, you know, getting a little bit too involved in the play, whether it's family members that are trying to push narratives upon coaching staffs, whether it's players that are now becoming a little bit more vocal towards that leadership and trying to go against the grain of it, all these different things. And it's just, from what I've seen video-wise, from what I've read article-wise, for me as an outsider looking in, I feel as though it's another example of what feels to be overreach in a youth sporting event that is not teaching because of course you're playing a sport, especially at the youth level, to be a part of the community, to be hanging out with your friends, to get better at a sport that at that time you either enjoy playing because you love it or you enjoy playing because your friends are there, and it's also teaching you core lessons in life. Mm-hmm. And it feels as though that's just an example here of what was not a proper lesson being taught with a slight disagreement with something so darn minor as to a song that was, and I like I said, I wasn't listening to the song. Mm-hmm. I was not at the games. I don't know if there was a profane version, if there's a clean version, if there's an instrumental version, all those different things, right, of sorts. But if the umpire were to go out as far as to say, hey, I'm here, I hear the music, I did not hear anything that was inappropriate, I feel as though, based off of that knowledge as of right now, that would be a little bit too much of an outreach from a coach's perspective to try and more or less change the entire outlook of the game, with whether there's background noise, music, things of those sorts or not at all to begin with.
Well, let's start off with the obvious. Okay, I don't know. In youth sports, now this is obviously organized enough so that there is some type of music playing in the background. Some parents can do that with an app on their phone where they can cycle through different songs that they add to a playlist or something. People can obviously play music directly from their phone or iPad. I don't know what the setup was for that, number one. Number two, I don't know that the umpire has control over that, especially at a youth sporting event. That usually, you're talking 11, 12-year-olds, James. I'm assuming that's around that Little League age, et cetera. Parents are going to be heavily involved. I mean, parents at that age group, I think, normally are mm-hmm. coaches. Sometimes, obviously, they're the officials as well, but sometimes you get kids. I mean, you did this when you were a teenager as well. Mm-hmm. So I think this would be something that you would either, as a coach, if you have a problem with it, I think you should go to who's ever in the PA booth, who's announcing it, who's playing the music, and talk to them. I don't think the umpire has anything to do with that. I think if you really didn't get an answer or justification to your satisfaction, I think maybe you ask the opposing coach or opposing parents. I don't know. I mean, I think you're kind of overdoing it at that point there. So I think that's number one. I don't think the umpire has anything to do with the music there. So I don't think that's his jurisdiction to tell the parents and or home field what they're playing. So there's that, number one. Number two, as far as the song goes, when I quick did a search on my Apple Music and looked at the lyrics, I don't see any curse words involved. Now, there may be some, because if you know who Rob Zombie is, obviously he was the former founder of White Zombie, which these days he's doing more stuff as a solo artist. He has been known to direct horror movies. He's in that genre. He's got this kind of macabre look, if you will, when it comes to his stage presence. So I think the only thing maybe related to the lyrics, maybe there was a use of the word devil at one point. You get kind of the idea of, if you know who Rob Zombie is, you kind of understand his style of music. Now, when I say style of music, I know of people myself that they don't prefer, in a sense, heavy metal or rock music at all. That is a personal choice. I have no problem with your personal choice, whether you're more of a country fan, more of your a pop music fan, electronic type of music, heavy metal, classics, the crooners from the 1950s or whatever. Everybody's got their own style, their own genre that really speaks to them. So this is just a one of a variety in the background. I mean, how many times, James, have we heard something that, it was a social media post. It was just written. It was the favorite top three artists on your playlist for our MSUM Dragon basketball teams. There was a wide variety. The overwhelming style of music that seemed to be the most popular was in that rap and hip hop genre. That's not my genre that I normally listen to, so I didn't really get some of the artists that they referenced, but I don't really have a problem with it. In today's day and age, lyrics and what can be said on TV and radio has gotten, there's more wiggle room than there used to be. So maybe there's some things that are said or at least implied that maybe don't seem appropriate for 11 or 12 year olds. However, that's a personal choice there. So to me, this sort of feels like this coach from this team that got upset. Number one, they don't like the genre of music. They know more about the artist than the kids do. And so I think that the kids were unaffected by it. It's just noise in the background as they're warming up. So this seems to be something that is completely overblown. And I think this coach maybe needs to take a step back and realize that music playing in the background is not going to harm his team. And if it's really that big of a problem, maybe he needs to, maybe consider his role on the team, because if this team is playing a Rob Zombie song, what's the next place? They're going to have a team that plays, a Drake song or something. Maybe someone's playing a Jason Aldean song and you don't like Jason Aldean or whatever the case is. There's a lot of artists that, whether it be implied either sexuality or violence in the songs, if there's political overtones in the song, there's going to be things that a lot of people don't like about a particular artist or a particular song. But getting in the face, not necessarily in the face, because I haven't watched the video per se, I've read the story. I don't know if he got real animated with the kid, but it seems to be something that he stepped over a line that doesn't need to be done at this point in time. And I commend the young man, your star baseball player, who also umps to help the younger, the next group of kids coming up to play baseball at his high school, to enjoy the game, to love the game, and also, like you said, to earn a few bucks. I think this is a complete overreaction by an adult. And as your point that I think you were kind of making earlier, and also this morning when we touched on the story on Bonnie and Friends, we need adults on the playing field in these games, hockey parents, baseball parents, all these parents of different sports, football, soccer, basketball. We need them to act like adults and realize what's important and what's not. The important part of team sports as a youth is to learn how to work as a team, how to keep persevering through tough obstacles, whether that's injuries, whether that's a loss, whether that's a bad game, etc. There are big teaching points that you and I have both learned that we carry forward into life from being in team sports. You played football and baseball. I was football and basketball and did some track as well. the lessons we learned about life going through sports is what's important. And when the kids are 11 and 12 years old, they need to learn those lessons, but they also need to have a good time doing it and taking these kids off the field because the coach, not the players, but the coach didn't like the song that was playing in the background that I'm sure, I mean, like I said, there's no curse words in it as far as I can tell. So I think it was just an overreaction by this person. And the umpire, the teenager, baseball player from the high school, made the right call, said, look, if you're not going to get off the field, I'm going to eject you, and then your day is going to be done. And then, of course, it was the coach's decision to take his team off the field. So now those kids that were there ready to play a baseball game, they got no baseball in Idaho, and now we've got a story that's making the national rounds.
Exactly. And just, you know, not to try and be as
objective,
straightforward and level-headed as possible about it, the coach... He didn't go out. It wasn't like those animated ejections.
Yeah.
He didn't take a base with him. Mm-hmm. He wasn't, you know, flailing his arms and running circles around the umpire, and he wasn't doing the whole point and scream and profanity and things at him.
Which is good, at least.
But, you know, they were standing basically face-to-face with each other while they both kind of pointed a couple of times, you know, different things that they were pointing towards. And about, you know, 50, 55 seconds into the video, when he gave the choice, the ultimatum, hey, either... you know, go to the dugout or well, I eject you.
What choice does that young umpire have?
Those basically are the choices you have if you're going to uphold the game. Otherwise, you're going to result in just an exorbitant amount of or a long protest of some sorts that may or may not be resolved, you know, through maturity or not, in all honesty. But when he gave him the ultimatum, the coach said, well, I'm not leaving the field then. And he said, all right, you're gone. And when he ejected him, you could see the kid that was up at the plate kind of that was waiting to step into the batter's box kind of threw his hands up and is like, what going on here? Like, why are we not playing baseball? And then the coach, you could see yell to his team, and he throws his hand up and waves him in to, hey, we're going to the dugout because we're going to forfeit this because of this reasoning. And that's when the umpire makes the call and says, all right, game's been forfeited. X team wins. X team has decided not to continue play. And I think it was handled well overall by that 17, 18-year-old young man. But, you know, because it's not necessarily one of those stories of, you know, loud flailing, you know, throwing of extremities, screaming
at
somebody.
We don't have a parent scream. We don't have a parent physically altercate, getting an altercation with a kid. So yeah, there's that. So that's
But it's
fine. But it's still too much.
It's still to the point in my eyes at this point that it's another overreach and there wasn't much positive life lesson taken out of it because an adult, I believe, wasn't as mature or in the right to make the decision that they made, but
made
the decision. It overall at the moment, you know, isn't harming anybody. You just hope that those kids are able to learn from it, which is the toughest part to do in a situation like that. But we're going to go to a quick break. We come back. We'll put a bow on the show here for this evening, and we'll continue on in just a couple minutes. You listen to Primetime Sports on WDAY Radio. Welcome back to Primetime Sports. Big Game James McCarty with Jason Denman. And in the last few minutes of the show tonight, something we haven't been able to talk about so far this week or earlier on in the week, just due to the nature of different things going on, whether it's track talk back and rolling with Jason Berg, whether it's debates that we have for different local commissions and mayoral and all those different type of things. As well, but something that was announced earlier this week was for the upcoming, technically two drafts from now, 2028 NFL draft. It is heading to Minneapolis. It'll be hosted by the Minnesota Vikings, and they will be the fourth and final team from the NFC North to have an opportunity to host the NFL draft, which is a cool opportunity. And I think the first you know question that comes to mind is, you know, how, where, why, you know, how is it going to be executed and what is the possibility of, you know, fan interaction with this draft, right? And of course, those are definitely questions that have been raised for good reason, and that's something that we're going to figure out in the coming months. But the 2027 draft is in Washington, D.C., in our nation's capital, and then 2028 will be in Minneapolis. And so for those... we're kind of wondering, just for kind of an outline or a thought as to what may or may not happen. I don't know what the logistics are of them shutting down, you know, the street directly surrounding and all four ways surrounding the stadium, because those are some busy streets, Washington and a couple of other streets.
You have to
like
walk
that.
Across the street from like that train stop then, right?
I
know I've been there before. I've been down to the area. I'm trying to make it picture it in my head.
Yeah, there are light rails across the street. Most parking's across the street. There's a parking lot.
Is that
lot.
To the east? Where the light rails are?
Off the top of my head. I'm trying
to think. Thinking of like where the U.S. Attorney's office is, and you look north and you can see the stadium. And I remember getting off the train with my daughter. My point is that it seems like over by that train part, it seemed like there was a sort of an open area.
There is, and it's about a 4-acre park directly outside of the stadium on one side of the stadium. And so that's kind of what I was getting to. So your capacity for a normal game, you know, is in the 70-ish thousand.
But don't they have these outside of the stadiums? Because this year was like, what, Pittsburgh?
Yes.
And they were kind of in the parking lot. So is...
Well, and so that's the question that's presented as to do you do it in the stadium? Do you do it outside of the stadium? How do you try and fill it in with people? Because if you use the inside of the stadium and then you have the full football field floor, you put the stage in there, you give all 32 teams their spot there, you could still do a bunch of that standing room, the excitement there for fans for it. I think that's a way that you could get away with doing it. Then you have the outside 4-acre, you know, park, quote unquote, that you'd be able to funnel more fans into that could watch it on a big screen, things of those sorts, and support their teams from outside of the venue. But those are the questions that are being presented immediately. And those are the questions that, of course, probably aren't going to be answered in the near future. It's probably going to be more closer to a calendar year from now once they do the execution of the Washington, D.C. draft in April of 2027 before the Vikings host in April of 2028, being the final team in the North to host after, of course, Chicago, Detroit, and Green Bay have all hosted in recent memory.
Well, looking at just a quick satellite image, my first thought would be because Pittsburgh had like 800,000 people that they said walked through the area. So I think they're going to have some stuff throughout the area throughout that weekend that fans can take part of. But it sort of looks like the front of the building, right? You've got U.S. Bank Stadium there. You got the main walk-up, et cetera. But there is right across the street is Park Avenue, right there between 4th Street and 5th Street. And there's this park there, the Commons, and then just continuing that direction, headed whatever, east, northwest, or whatever, there's another kind of park-looking area. My thought would be is that would be the primary where they're going to allow people to be. And I think to some extent that stadium in the background, kind of the front of the stadium there, right along Chicago Avenue, that might be where you kind of stage things and people will be out in front of the building kind of headed in that direction. And I probably got my directions all turned around here or there. But to me, that's how I would set it up, that you're going to have some fans, because it seemed like when you had the draft in, I want to say it was Green Bay, but maybe it was this year in Pittsburgh, it seemed like you had some fans, maybe they're season ticket holders, maybe it was a Pittsburgh Steelers season ticket holder draft party that they had in the stadium, I'm not quite sure, because I know that there are fan groups from each team that usually show up, some of the diehards, you know, that paint their faces, have special outfits, nicknames, you know, like the Vikings World Order down there.
Yep.
They had each little segments there in front of the stage before each pick. So I think it's going to be primarily outside. Obviously, you know, weather, not so much permitting, but weather hopefully cooperates for it. But my thought would be is that you would continue off on the front of that stadium and you would have those kind of open areas, the Commons or whatever, opened up. For fans to be able to kind of accumulate there and be right in the front of right in front of Chicago Avenue there, right in front of U.S. Bank Stadium to really kind of take in everything. So it'll be interesting logistically how they do it, and it's going to be not this draft but the next draft, right? You said that?
Correct, 2028, yep.
So, I mean, that'll be here before you know it, but I would assume that by some point in time, maybe – at the latest this time next year, we'll already know where they're going to set up and how they're going to do it. I'm sure they're already starting to work on that. But that's going to
I'm certain of it, yeah.
That's going to be a really cool thing. I know there's different events that they have for fans of each NFL, or not each NFL team, from all the teams. You know, we might have to make special plans to have PTS down there for the draft so we can observe it and see how everything runs there. But it's a big deal, and I really like the fact that they've switched from having one central location that they always have, the NFL draft, but they now have it rotating between different local stadiums and fan bases, so they get to really be the host of it. So I think it's going to be really cool, and just in about a year and a half or 20 months or so, you're going to have it come to Minnesota and be there in downtown Minneapolis. I think it's going to be fantastic.
I think it's going to be incredibly exciting. I think that they're going to do a terrific job with it, and I think that it's going to really shed a light on the diehard fan base that is the Minnesota Vikings fan base, and what we see locally here is something that they're going to see nationally in that draft, and that's going to be really, really cool and encouraging and exciting to see. So looking forward to that. Cannot wait to see how that continues to get closer, hearing some more information on it. But, of course, we got to worry about the upcoming fall camps before we even get to the 26th season, before we get to the 27 draft and the 28 draft. But that's all we have time for tonight. So thanks for tuning in. And until tomorrow night, have a great night, y'all, and God bless.
Yep, you betcha. Bye.